It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, welcome to America. Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to the second hour of the Saturday afternoon broadcast live of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and it's my pleasure, it's my honor to have you join us here today or in the download archives when you eventually receive the program. We're having a very interesting program today. I'm not going to the phones. I'm basically trying to stay on point here with a couple of very interesting topics, including how to handle rogue judges through the use of distress warrants and plaintiff procedures. So we're going to press right along with that. Let me just say first a brief reminder that if you'd like to attend the 5-day Law Merchant Leadership Retreat. That's the retreat where you learn all of this material in depth. And you can count on the fact that we will be focusing heavily on days 4 and 5, not just in criminal complaints and in treasury liquidation, but we'll be looking at the whole distress warrant procedure. And in more depth than we did at the last conference, we will be looking at some public remedies when public policy is stalled for a few months. Those public remedies, namely being the use of plaintiff strategies, which I beg people to use, but they rarely do, but which can turn a case right off every time if you know what you're doing. Because when you bring someone into a venue, a public official into a venue to testify to the cold hard facts, what did you do with the funds? Is there a defect in United States certified public record that you stole $50 million or $100 million or whatever the millions of dollars are of public funds from the Department of Treasury, then suddenly they become very shy about appearing in the courtroom. Very shy indeed. It's imperative that patriots learn how to function through the trust known as a straw person. In my case, through the Sam Kennedy Trust, as a plaintiff to enforce their contracts and administrative remedy. That said, we were looking at the distress warrants process, and as I said, you can use as a starting point the process that we'll be reviewing on the air today, but again, all of this is for entertainment purposes only, and you don't want to do anything unless you know what you are doing and you own the process. If you own this process, you might decide to rewrite it to go directly to the Controller General and demand of the Controller General, using not just this process, but the process in the Folder 5 Stage 1 Special Process at the Law Merchant Leadership Conference, CD, for having the Controller General enforce your process or pay the price. We'll discuss that after a brief station identification. This is a 1-minute break coming up, folks. Please join me.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Welcome back, friends. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and you're listening to the Saturday afternoon edition of Take No Prisoners. Friends, we're going to have a special guest joining us later on during the program, and I appreciate his patience while we review a couple of things in advance. You're going to like this guest. All I can say is he has something to do with some of the previous discussion we've had here this afternoon. You don't want to miss it. Now, I've mentioned a couple of times, but finally we have a long segment where we can lay this out for you. Number one, on the Law Merchant Leadership Conference CD in Folder 5, we have a process called Special Process Regarding Official Performance. That's the name of the directory. And the file itself is called Simple Pre-Liquidation Request by Administrative Process. That is a process by which we give an instruction to an official. In other words, most of our processes are in response to offers that are being made to us. You know, here's an indictment we're honoring you with. Here is a citation. Here is an invitation to come in and present yourself for arrest, whatever it may be. This is the opposite. This is when we are recruiting a public official to do his or her lawful duty. And it has in it a letter of instructions, and it is served by notary due presentment along with an indemnity bond of some sort or a bonded promissory note or a copy of an indemnity bond, things of that sort which indicate to the public official that they have been named as an account holder on an indemnity bond that was previously filed with Treasury. And that's why when we're layering on our indemnity bonds, that we might want to be adding all of the agencies as well as our own accounts that we can think of that we might have business with in the future. So keep that in mind if you're of a mind to be filing indemnity bonds. This process in Folder 5 can be combined with the distress warrant process using ideas from the process that I just mentioned to order the public official by way of the bonded promissory note and a copy of the indemnity bond that's within the presentment that one might make to them, letting them know that they have a fiduciary obligation on the instrument as well as their public obligations to perform their public duties. So you can combine all of that if you're of a mind and wind up owning the process and making it better than Sam Kennedy's process. Here is the letter that is the meat of the distress warrant administrative process that we call demand for distress warrant. This letter goes to the Secretary of the Treasury in his capacity as a U.S. trustee, and it is entitled the following: Notice of Stolen Funds in a Pending Judicial Case. That's pretty straightforward, my friends. It's also entitled Demand for Distress Warrants as Proxy for Controller General. Demand for Set-Off. Demand for Quashing of Process. I almost don't have to read the letter because you know what's coming based upon those four titles. Number one, transfer of equity. On or about a particular date, the undersigned tendered bonded promissory note number such and such, in parenthesis, Exhibit D, close parenthesis, to, and we would name the fiduciaries on the instrument, with a request to post the payment and transfer the funds to you for the benefit of the Department of Treasury. You are co-payee on the note and holder of the securitization bond, offset bond number such and such, and we have, in parenthesis, Exhibit E, indicating that we're sending the U.S. trustee a copy of that offset bond so he can locate it in his files. The outcome of the judicial case is pending. That ends the first paragraph. You could also say that the judicial case has been adjudicated because that statute, 28 U.S.C. 2041, that makes payment transferable to Treasury applies to all pending and adjudicated cases. That means anything that occurs in a court. If a dollar passes to a court, it belongs to Treasury. Of course, doesn't every dollar placed on deposit at your local key bank branch belong to the bank itself? Paragraph number two. Confession of theft of funds in the special maritime jurisdiction. In registered public record number such and such, in parenthesis Exhibit A, that would be the record that you might file in the county and take back a certified copy, which would be the file stamp number entered into that paragraph. Jane Doe, the name of our notary, agent for the Secretary of State of the state of, and then you would name whatever state is a party to this action. Don't forget, your notary is an agent of the Secretary of State. Has certified, doesn't that notary sit at the pleasure of the Secretary of State? Can't that notary's commission be repealed by the Secretary of State upon complaint? Probably without a complaint. So we have Jane Doe, agent for the Secretary of the State of New York, has certified the confession of the above noted party in question to illegally stealing the said funds as holder in due course. Excuse me. And in brackets we put, for reference only, 28 U.S.C. 2041. Now, we don't like to quote statutes. We don't quote statutes. At worst, I would bracket something as a reference point or put it in a footnote bracketed down below. The said parties consent to serving as successor surety for all obligations commercial and corporeal thereafter attributed to legal fiction Sam Kennedy is also attached, in parenthesis Exhibit C. So now we have exhibits A, B, and C. A is the certified public record. B is the notary's, B is the actual confession. Could be a confession of judgment or a schedule of stipulated facts by this fiduciary party in question. And exhibit C is the notice of successor surety regarding their agreement to serve a surety for the defendant. So we're telling them that that notice is also attached as Exhibit C, comprising confession of judgment, res judicata, and stare decisis, and waiver of all rights to object or raise a controversy. The said confession establishes that a procedural phantom is knowingly and intentionally injuring the undersigned living man. Paragraph 3, this paragraph is in bold. Demand for arrest of the funds, semicolon, distress warrants, period. Now, understand that arrest is a civil term. So when the cop takes you in and places the handcuffs on your hands behind your back because he didn't let him search your vehicle, really his vehicle, and he tells you he's placing you under arrest, he's telling you that he's taking you in his commercial property. Because the proper term for a non-civil proceeding, and there is no such thing in the United States, unless we create one, is detention. And that's why when you see certain rulings from the Supreme Court, they'll talk about detention. They are making a legal distinction, even though three-quarters of the attorneys reading it don't even realize that. Paragraph number 3. In the absence of a request from the Comptroller General, demand, in uppercase, is hereby respectfully made on behalf, on behalf of the Comptroller General for the immediate issuance of distress warrants to be directed to the marshals in the districts where the property and principal are situate for the purpose of seizing the funds on behalf of the Department of Treasury. Failure to so issue will comprise a statutory violation and conversion of liability. Even that last sentence may be a bit too much. We want the Secretary of the Treasury to do our bidding. However, I'm giving him a bit of a message here that I'll come after him as well and take his violations directly to the law merchants internationally if need be. Number 4, demand for set-off. So now we have already demanded arrest of the funds. This is another way of doing Treasury liquidation. This is doing it on the public side. And I'm not saying I expect it to be successful. I am saying it may be a leverage tool that can be used to wake up a rogue judge like Mr. Q's. Demand for set-off. The above-noted case has been globally accepted for value against my prepaid account and settled, but for the said party's theft of payment. As I am exempt from levy, demand is hereby made respectfully to secure the funds from the named party's public hazard bond, deposit same to Treasury, charge to the clerk of court as instructed thereon, and liquidate the equity by posting the payment to the above-noted account via set-off per the order of offset bond number such and such currently in your possession. And you could also be referring them to Winston's private bond for set-off, not Winston's named private bond for set-off, but the bond that he wrote that many of you have, we are aware of, have used, and some of you have used quite successfully owing to Winston Shrout's personal brilliance. Paragraph number 5, quash all adverse orders. And here's the third part of the triumvirate. We demand the arrest of the funds, demand for set-off, settle the accounts, and now we're demanding an end to the public menagerie, known as a court case. Quash all adverse orders. Please command the clerk of the court in the above-noted case to release all bonds and sureties, notify all sureties of the release, and quash all orders and warrants adverse to legal fiction such and such, legal fiction Sam Kennedy, pursuant to closure of the case and your position as receiver of the bankruptcy. Paragraph 6, which I see here is titled number 5 instead of number 6, please, folks, make that correction when you spot it. Don't worry, we will certainly make it here before we were to use something like this. Well, Will, that music means that we're coming up on a 3-minute break. We will read this paragraph, and then get on to our mystery guest after the break. You're listening to the Saturday version of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Hi, welcome to America. Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my next 2 paychecks spent. And my debts are rising faster than a rocket.
Welcome back. My friends, you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're covering some very interesting information here today, friends. And we have a special guest who's going to join us in just a few minutes. You don't want to miss it. I'm sure you'll enjoy hearing what he has to say, especially where he's been the last week or so. We were reading from an essential element that we'll be reviewing heavily at the Law Merchant Leadership Conference in October regarding the issuance of distress warrants by the U.S. trustee in his capacity as Secretary of the Treasury for funds that are not transferred to Treasury by a public official in contravention of their statutory requirement. The last paragraph is paragraph 6, return of principal. Please return the interest to the undersigned paramount first in line secured party creditor with confirmation of the setoff and closure of the above closure at the above noted location to be received no later than 10 days on the date of postmark of this letter, service in any other manner, will be defective. The notary has been asked to certify non-performance or non-response as your acceptance and agreement to the terms herein, and for further action through the International Monetary Fund and Provost Marshal General as needed. So what we're doing there, of course, is giving a small message to the Secretary of the Treasury that one way or the other, we need him to conduct his business appropriately. That's his job. He's the portal between the private and the public. Now, this would be sent along to the Secretary by a notary, and it would include attachments that would be critical to the process. And those attachments would be the exhibits that we read in the letter, but might include other attachments if you decided to augment this process to go directly to the Comptroller General. If it's going to the Secretary of the Treasury, we don't have to give him a bond. He's already bonded up. But if we're going to give an order or a demand to the Comptroller General to create the account and transfer it to Treasury, and request that Treasury issue the distress warrant, then we need to indemnify the controller, authorize him, and provide a bond in the form of a bonded promissory note. So that would require a bonded promissory note, fiduciary instructions, and some of the ideas in the simple instruction letter in Folder 5, which is available on the Law Merchant Leadership Conference CD. Now, I don't make those kinds of contents generally available at a request by email, because if they're used without the appropriate training, you can count on landing yourself in a whole heap of quicksand. And as you know, I have deeply held beliefs, in fact, deeply held religious beliefs, that I cannot and will not be complicit in assisting people in shooting themselves in the foot and in creating self-injury. But it only takes one person from a group to take this technology back and mentor, and that's consistent with my vision, which we all saw in action at the last Law Merchant Conference a week ago. It was an amazing thing to behold. People from all over the world and from all different kinds of communities, all communities of men and women, but believe me, different social and cultural communities, acting in parallel and in tandem, creating remedies that they're taking and spreading throughout this great land of ours. The ideas from the letter of instructions in Folder 5 might include things such as warnings that if they elect to dishonor the instructions, we're including an affidavit for them to disprove the assumption that they are participating in the theft of funds, et cetera, and I might even start a commercial lien process against the Comptroller General. Now, I don't want to waste a lot of my time doing those things, but if I did start a commercial lien process against the Comptroller General, I'll tell you this, I would take that process, and I would probably quit claim it and assign it and put it through a monetization procedure, and then I would probably write a promissory note against that and deliver it to certain parties in the United States government, and I would see, based upon the assignment, that they would accept it, and they'd be taking the funds from one of the best places you can take funds from in the world, which is the Office of the Comptroller General. So there's no end to the fun that we can have if we are determined and knowledgeable of the process that we're attempting to undertake and the risks involved with that process. No one should be listening to this radio program and going out and creating a commercial lien against the Comptroller General or against the soon-to-be former Judge Michael Cues in Michigan, in Iron County, Michigan. No one should be doing that. But we should give these officials every opportunity to perform their public duties and not suddenly weasel out of it because it's a non-attorney coming in and exposing the fact that the emperor has no clothing. That said, that in a way completes our discussion of distress warrants, and I'm tempted to secure our guest right before we go to break, which is going to happen any minute now, but let's bring him in. Actually, let's not, because the music tells me we're going to break, but when we come back, we'll have about 20 minutes to talk with our mystery guest, and welcome him back to the family of man. You'll find out what that means in about 3 minutes, my friends, when you retune in, Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health. Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. And I'd like to welcome in our very special guest. Mike, are you there?
Yes, Sal, I'm here. Thank you. It's nice to be out of the Gray Bar Hotel.
Yes. Well, Mike, you had the misfortune, or good fortune, depending on how you slice it, of seeing the inside of a jail cell the last week or so. Why don't you bring us up to speed on that?
That's correct. I attended your seminar from the 1st to the 7th, flew up to Michigan to go to court on the 8th, and had about a two-hour session of bantering back and forth with the judge over, it was supposed to be a plea agreement that I made back in June from three felonies down to one misdemeanor. And they changed the terms of the contract, of course, like they always do. So they gave me an unconscionable contract that I could not, in good conscience, sign on to. They said that if I signed my name in any other way, other than the way they wanted me to, they were going to have me thrown back in jail for a probation violation. So I signed everything under threats, duress, and coercion, and nullified the contract, of course, when I'd done that.
What was the change in the terms of the contract?
Well, I had agreed that I would terminate some UCC financing statements of commercial liens on the plaintiff, and we agreed to no jail time and 6 months of probation. The UCC-3s they put in front of me in the courtroom to terminate were blank. They just wanted me to sign it, and I didn't know what they were going to put in the blocks.
I see. So they could have terminated other UCC processes that you had underway.
Correct.
And
when
did you ask
their attention? I said, "This is unconscionable, Judge." Or I didn't call him a judge; I call him Sir. That these termination statements are blank, and he said, "Well, you can sue them later if you don't like it." So.
Yes, you can transfer more of your wealth to the ruling class.
Correct. And the
right.
The sentencing, the pre-sentencing recommendations they gave to me stated that I would have no contact with any of the plaintiffs, no contact with the clerk of court, no contact with the prosecutor, no contact with the register of deeds, no contact with the 95B district court or any of its employees, no contact with the 41st Circuit Court
or
any of its employees.
We get the idea. Now, why do you think that is?
Because they're afraid of my processes.
Yeah, because you were winning.
Right.
And at the 11th hour when they came to you basically telling you, we have nothing or else we wouldn't be offering you a misdemeanor on half a dozen felonies.
Correct.
You pretty much got tired of the case and said, I'll take the plea.
Right. It was a mistake. I realized that later.
Say that loud and clear.
It was a very big mistake. I had victory in my hands and I let it slip.
Why was it a mistake? Forgetting about the victory, why, in technical terms, was that a mistake?
Because I had the agreement of the parties, the stipulated agreements, defaults, the confessions. I had.
You had all of that.
I had liquidated their bonds through the Treasury, and I prepared the 1099-Cs, and they had everything.
Right. So the reason it's a mistake, my friends, is because when you take that plea agreement, you have undone all of the previous work, and you've said, I am coming forth as a debtor. I don't believe a word of what I've said.
Now, I had intended to go into that hearing on the 8th and withdraw my no contest plea.
Right. You mentioned that to me at the meeting, and what did I say?
I believe you said there was going to be some trouble if I did that, and that there was too much repetition going on in my case, and I can't quite remember everything you said. But
you got to the core issue that there would probably be some trouble.
Right.
Have you ever abandoned a gal at the altar?
No.
Well, actually, you have, and they sent you to jail for it.
Correct.
Yeah. An 11th-hour change in open court like that is a very dangerous proposition, and sometimes we have to learn the hard way. It's not like you haven't worked hard on this case. So they sent you in, and how did you get out?
I've been in contact with some of the members that were at the meeting, who were really excellent people, and one of them recommended that he would wire the transfer, the bond money, which was $2,000, to my mother's account, and she came and bailed me out of
did
jail,
you,
bonded
did you go
me out
forth?
On Tuesday afternoon at 4 o'clock.
All right, a couple of things about, there's a lot to be learned from your incarceration. Number one, I understand that you refused to sign in.
I refused to book into their jail voluntarily, so they held me for 24 hours in a small holding cell.
Yes, how was that?
It wasn't too bad. I just read the Bible. I had my Bible with me and read a lot.
They didn't take fingerprints under that circumstance, I presume?
No fingerprints were taken.
You see this, folks? They need your approval to do all of their evil deeds. Without your approval, they can do nothing.
Yes, I see that a lot now.
Then what happened?
I refused to eat anything because the last time I was arrested back in October of last year, on the 48th hour, they drugged my food with some kind of a tranquilizer to get me to bond in or to sign in. So this time I refused to eat anything, and that made them very nervous.
Of course. So what, did they move you to general lockup?
After 24 hours, they took me and put me into the cell block with the rest of the inmates.
How did that go?
And I didn't sign in. I didn't. They just put
you
me
were
in there.
Guest.
And they said, oh, we know you're not going to sign nothing. They just brought me in there.
See, they know that you were a guest.
Right.
In fact, you could stay there and have free room and boarding for the next 10 years if you want, which sometimes doesn't sound like such a bad idea. There's some nice guys in the joint. Did you meet any decent people inside?
I met a few pretty nice guys. What was really interesting is as I was walking over to the jail with the sheriff, he kept calling me Mr. Olson. I corrected him. I said, my name is not Mr. Anybody. My name is Michael Morris of the Olson family. And when he brought me in, he told all the guards to refer to me as Michael Morris of the Olson family.
Of course. Now, this sheriff, at this point, with your case going on a year or two, he's well aware of what's happening.
Oh, yeah, he's well aware of it. I haven't done any processes on him, and I'm thinking I might have to.
You might. And so you felt at some point that you had to bail out of there.
Correct. I have a full-time job, and my career was in jeopardy. And we thought it best for me to, rather than hunker down in there till the 22nd when they're having a show cause hearing why I should not be held in contempt, that I should get out of there to come back to work.
Yes.
So I came back to work. I immediately called my HR representative when I got out of jail and told them what happened. And my wife and mother had been doing the same. When I got back to work, they fired me.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. My condolences on that, but it may lead to bigger and better things.
Right.
It may very well. I suspect it will. Let me ask you. You bailed out of there, and you found out at some point that a contempt hearing has been scheduled.
Correct.
Now, why do you think, if you were in violation of probation, why did they schedule a contempt hearing?
The show cause why I, well, they're calling it a probation violation, a failure to sign UCC discharge lien. Due to the,
correct. Like there was there an order for you to sign UCC discharges? No. They are executing on an assumed contract just like we do. You understand that?
They are executing on a presumed contract.
When you agreed to the plea bargain, they took that as a contract. Now, we were discussing earlier in the program this statement that we receive occasionally from attorneys, oh, I don't see that there's any credibility to this process. There's no contract here. There are no signatures. They were operating under the assumption and continue to operate under the assumption that you are obliged to sign those discharges, sign those UCC discharges, terminations, or else there was a previous order in a court case involving you to sign those. Is there?
There was no order. It was an in-chambers meeting on June 26th where we had come to a somewhat of an agreement.
Right.
And then we went to court and put on a colorable show.
I'll tell you this. Regardless of what technology you choose, knowing me, if it was me, I would look at the judge and say, I'm prepared to die not to sign those. Are you prepared to lose everything you have? That would be my attitude. And, in fact, I'd tell him that in the sidebar. And believe me, I'm not alone, sir. And you'll find out, when you're not sitting on the bench and you owe all that money to IRS, exactly where this is leading. Because at this point, he's not giving you much choice.
No, I don't have any choices anymore. It's, So press on the fire now.
Yes. And so what do you plan to do?
Well, I've got your distress warrant here. I've been looking that over, and
That's that mass emailing I sent out, correct?
Correct. And,
all right.
There were several documents you sent me a couple days ago that I knew about taking and becoming the plaintiff and dragging this off into the federal district court.
Yes, now, that was a mass mailing regarding a program I did last Sunday regarding plaintiff procedures when I made the decision that we were going to concentrate on plaintiff procedures starting this weekend as well. So you might want to download last Sunday's program. And during the first hour, we began talking about that. And I suspect, knowing how you do process, that you already have a confession of judgment and a self-executing power of attorney.
Yes, and I heard the program.
Yeah, you did very, very well. So if it was me, now, Mike, I'm not telling you to do this, because only you can make a decision what's right for you in this circumstance. If it was me, I would be just like Clint Eastwood or any gunslinger on the open range. I'd be throwing back my poncho right about now. And I'd be reaching for everything that I have in my arsenal. No holds barred. If I felt I couldn't wait for public policy to complete. I'll tell you why they have a contempt hearing. Because, number one, you didn't sign in, and they have an interloper in their prison, and they cannot do that. Their books are out of balance. Number two, this judge is in his final desperate act. You're watching Custer's Last Stand. He's looking for anything he can to get you out of his hair. Because every time he says to you, there is no admiralty, there's no commerce in this court, I'm going to hold you in contempt, he is backing himself further into a corner, and he knows it. He is desperate because he knows he can go down on felonies. That's why they can't stop the prosecution.
Correct, and I did point blank ask him if this was an admiralty court, and he denied it, of course.
Yeah, we've asked him numerous times, am I correct?
Correct, and so I asked him then, am I the court? And he said, no, you're not. And then I asked him, are you lying to me, sir? So,
what did he say to that?
He said, do you think that a low-level notary public from North Carolina can come in here and send me paperwork and get an order against me and all this? And I said, yeah, you're holding the liability. You, the clerk and prosecutor, are the successor sureties, and, you know, you should be going to jail.
Yeah. Now, let me just use that as a teaching example, if I may. I'm not thrilled when I hear someone engage the judge for a couple of hours, because the only thing I want of these people is answers to my questions as to what they intend to do about the liability or suffer the consequences. And they do it all the time, Mike. They turn around, they say, do you think that a lowly notary can blah, 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 blah? And my answer to him, I mean, I'd have a dozen answers to him, but my answer to him would have been in question form, and I would have asked him, excuse me, aren't you purporting to be a judge and you don't understand administrative remedy? You don't understand liability for holding a payment instrument? Is that your position? Well, apparently you don't, because you're willing to accept the liability. And instead of arguing with him, I would fold my hands and sit back and say, judge, I've got all the time in the world. You want to put me in jail for a year until you're no longer on the bench? That's fine. But understand that I will enforce this liability unless you kill me. And if you kill me, there are others who have pledged on to take over the case. Your choice. Your move. In other words, go for your gun, buddy, if you want.
Yeah, I asked him if he had not been educated into commercial law. And he went into,
of course he hasn't,
diatribe about how he's got a master's degree in this and a bachelor's degree of that, alpha cum laude. And I said, well, I'm real impressed, so you should know better.
Of course. But he will know better shortly. So now, the question is, what do you intend to do?
I can't attend the meeting this week, so I'm going to have to put in some sort of either a continuance request, or I'm definitely going to put in some rescissions on the bond and their judgment sentence order that I signed under threats, duress, and coercion.
All right, that's all well and good. Might I suggest that you've exhausted that venue?
Okay.
And that it might be time to get someone with a bigger stick.
All right.
Now, I think I may have suggested that on the air before.
Correct.
And that's what these plaintiff procedures are about. If it was me, I would, since we have a rogue judge, since we have the process in place already, you mentioned you did treasury liquidation, correct?
Correct.
So we have the process in place, ladies and gentlemen, to terminate this fool, then might I suggest that on the public side, this needs to be removed out of his hands, at least using public policy grounds always. If you've attended a seminar, you know how to write the Honest Patriots public policy statement in negative averment fashion. That's critical. But I would also add a little public color to it that a third-party defendant, it has come to your attention that a defendant in a case is sitting in judgment on the bench purporting to be a public official. How can he be a public official if he's a participant in the case? And that would be criminal complaint and other things that I would use, if it was me, as leverage if I put in a writ of mandamus or a writ of prohibition or even a writ of habeas corpus, bringing this guy in to testify in another venue. We'll pick this up after the break. My friends, you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7, but I never have to go to work.
So what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com. Your provider for great sleep.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to the final segment of this two-hour Saturday edition of Take No Prisoners. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. We're joined here by Mike. Mike, why don't you say your full name?
My name is Michael Morris of the Olson family.
All right. We're joined by Mike here today. There isn't much time left, so I'm going to rush because I see two avenues one might proceed in a case like this. One way is to continue the administrative process. You mentioned you had not included the sheriff, and send the sheriff a notice of rescission and notice of successor surety. We have a wonderful packet for doing that, which we reviewed at the Law Merchant Leadership Conference. It's in folder 4 under option 3 and option 4, and it's called the optional notice of rescission of appearance bond package. So we could do rescissions with that package and give him a notice, bona fide notice. Here is the successor surety. I'm now resorting to my right of avoidance. I'm out of it. Don't come to me. I don't care if you issue arrest warrants. Just make sure you pick up the correct surety and not me by accident. You better correct that in the computer or I'll hold you liable. The other way to go, or in combination with that, another way to go is to move this into another venue with a writ of mandamus or prohibition or a habeas corpus, which is predicated upon the most powerful element in one's possession at any one time, and that's the other party's stipulation, which I believe in this case consists of a confession of judgment, correct?
Correct.
They've already confessed judgment. Deliver that into another court and say, go back and rein in your children. Because they're out of line and they're being dangerous to the public. Now, that would continue operating in the public venue, and maybe it's necessary here, maybe it isn't. I can't make decisions like that. Only the principal can. But I see those two divergent directions.
All right.
Mike, thank you for joining me. During the minute or so we have left, do you have any questions?
I have a administrative process running on the prosecutor. I send her a new promissory note at the end of July, and I want to complete that with a dishonor and protest. Should I do that?
Well, I would never leave any process incomplete, and everything is just another layer of evidence. But whoever I send a promissory note to when I use it, I make sure that they wind up as a successor surety, and I notice all those parties who might think that I'm the surety. And then when I rescind all the other documents, I want everyone to know I am not that surety. Now, the sheriff knows this by the way they treated you in the jail cell. I would probably do that package to him no matter what, and then I'd call him and say, you understand now. You and the other sheriffs around the country better not come calling for me because that's a different party, and you stipulated to that in the prison, didn't you?
Correct.
I would let them know that. And if not, I'd let them know. I would send them a copy. I would fax them over a copy of the article on Mr. Q's, or whatever his name is, being forced out of office by Treasury, and let them know the same process can be done on him.
Yeah, all right.
But in a nice way. Say, when we liquidate this dishonor through Treasury, that is the end of the public official. And we've seen hundreds of public officials bite the dust that way. I don't want you to be on the list.
Right, okay.
All right, so that's one way using the telephone to your advantage in a case like this might be not a bad suggestion. Anyway, my friends, I want to thank Mike for joining us. I want to thank you for listening. Again, if you'd like to attend. Mike, what did you think of the conference, honestly?
I thought it was awesome. I met a lot of really nice people.
Including someone who loaned some bail money to Mom.
Right. The atmosphere was very charged with positive energy, and we all got along like one big happy family.
It's a pretty amazing formula, I thought.
Like one of the tribes of Israel.
Well, thank you for that observation. My friends, that music means that we have come to the end of another edition of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. If you're interested in attending the Law Merchant Conference, all 5 days of that retreat, please send an email to Roberta T at hush.com. The free seminar next month can be attended by